How you doing? Thanks for downloading the show. Thanks for listening. Are you in your car? Or maybe you're folding laundry. I fold laundry and listen to podcasts. So we are here with my friend Rick, and Rick has somehow on Skype managed to share his computer screen with me. So while I'm talking, I'm watching his computer screen, which is very weird. And we don't know how to turn it off.
Eric. Yeah, good morning, Eric. I don't know how it turned off either. I was trying to figure that out. And the more I fool with it, the worse it gets, apparently.
I'm like, make it stop. But Rick's desktop screen is much more organized than mine. Mine is a mess, but that's kind of like my brain. So.
Well, so we love your brain the way it is, just the way it is.
Well, if you want to really see inside Eric's brain, at the same time I'm releasing this podcast today, there is a new YouTube video on cooking sweet potatoes in the Instant Pot. And if you would go watch that video before you listen to the podcast, that would be great for a couple of reasons. First, you could enjoy the context of our talk here. But to make the YouTube algorithms happy, a Garden Fork YouTube video needs 1,000 views in the first 24 hours. And sometimes, for some reason, that is difficult for me to attain. So
really?
Yeah. So if you all, because there's about 1,200 downloads on the show in the first 24 hours of the podcast. So if you would go over and go to youtube.com/gardenfork and watch the sweet potato Instant Pot video, and there'll be a link in the show notes to this show. Just touch on the Garden Fork Radio icon, which is usually a Labrador, and it says Garden Fork Radio. The notes will come up, and there should be a link to the video on YouTube there. So, yeah.
Well, just wait, and I'll go watch it right now.
It's a very hands-off way to use the Instant Pot to cook sweet potatoes. And my issue with sweet potatoes is you have to womp up the oven, and it takes forever to do that. So. And Rick keeps on playing with his computer as I'm talking. So.
Oh, you're watching me, aren't you?
Well, what else am I going to look at?
Yeah. I'll stop doing that. Well, it's distracting, though, to have something on your screen that you're not controlling. And you're going, oh, isn't that interesting? Yeah. Oh, my God.
Actually, I did have a moment like that. I was having lunch with some friends, and the guy wanted to show me a picture of something he was building. And he was swiping all the pictures across. And I just, you know, you kind of naturally look at the phone. Oh, let me show you this thing. And then a picture came up that I really shouldn't have looked at, you know?
Ah.
Like, why is that on your phone?
Yeah, there are some things you cannot unsee.
Yeah, make it stop. Well, what I have been seeing for a couple of weeks now is a sugar maple behind my garage. It's one of those twin trunk trees, you know, in the bottom. For like the first 3 feet is one trunk, and it splits into two trunks. And they're like trees, you know?
Yeah, I had a river birch like that.
So the one trunk in a storm split and cracked. Well, it cracked and then split. And almost landed on the garage roof, but thankfully it didn't. But it got hung up at some other pines and birches and something that surround the garage. And the camera operator's like, when are we going to get that out of there? And I'm like, that's going to be hard, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So two of my friends came over who have an endearing affection for chainsaws as well. And one of them who is Swiss. So it's very Swiss-like, you know, his approach to everything.
Yeah.
Which is precise. And we managed to get that one out of the hung up trees. But you know, like the younger birches that it's leaning on, it's made the birches bend over. So those birches are under quite a bit of compression on one side of the trunk and tension on the other. And it's only like a 4-inch birch. So to cut that tree that's bent over, that's an awful lot of energy you're about to release. So you have to be careful with that. So instead of cutting,
I never thought about that.
So instead of cutting through it, you shave it.
Really?
Yeah, there's a really great video on YouTube. It's 45 minutes long. It's put out by Husqvarna, depending on who you ask.
Right.
And this guy lays out how to do what's called a plunge cut, which is a really the safest way, I think, to cut down a tree, and very directional. And then he talks about, okay, once it falls, you know, these, the limbs of the tree are also under compression and tension that are underneath the tree. You know, they're stuck into the ground. And he shows how to shave the tree trunk. Instead of cutting smack through it, you shave mm-hmm. the side of it until you release that tension.
I hadn't thought about that.
It's pretty
cool. That's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing.
I've watched that video several times, and I will watch it again. He really talks about how to use your arm as a guide, using maybe not the Pythagorean theorem, but, you know, triangulation to figure out where the tree is going to drop and whether it's safe, the limbs are clear, how to aim the cut using a plunge cut with wedges, and then how to safely release the back cut.
Wow.
So I'll link to that in the show notes. But you go and watch that after you watch the sweet potato video.
I'll do that immediately. In fact, I'm going to do it right now. So you can watch it on my screen.
Yes. Well, that'll affect our bandwidth of the audio. So
that's true. We won't do that.
If you're thinking about doing a podcast, don't do video chats, because it compresses the audio too much and it makes the podcast sound less than good.
Tinny.
Yeah.
Yeah, tinny, I think.
I've actually heard some podcasts from major publishers recently that just were not very well produced, and so I emailed them and told them.
Yeah. You know, I had one I was listening to, and they separated the left and the right audio, and it's distracting if they don't blend them together.
Yep.
And it's very weird to listen to that.
That's called pan. There's a setting on the editing there.
Oh, okay.
All right, stop playing with your screen.
Oh.
Well, so this is my next topic. I have a little limb cutter chainsaw. It's like a 10-inch chain, a 10-inch bar, 12-inch bar maybe. It's an Echo. Mm-hmm. It's this inexpensive chainsaw that you can buy at, you know, the orange store or the blue store. And
right.
I'll start it up and it'll idle, but it won't, it doesn't have any power. When you pull the throttle, it just dies. And from watching Donyboy73 is his name on YouTube. He's in Canada and he fixes small engines, lawnmowers, tractors, chainsaws, snowblowers. Great mm-hmm. videos. You learn a lot. He more and more, rather than trying to rebuild a chainsaw carburetor, he just buys a new one and puts it in.
Oh, sure. That's the only way to go. I do that with my Briggs & Stratton engine out there on the lawnmower.
Because the carburetors nowadays are really not adjustable in chainsaws or in lawnmowers or tractors or anything like that, log splitters.
Right, yeah.
And in the chainsaw world, and also in the small engine world, like, you know, 5-6 horse engines, they have these clone carburetors now. And the Echo chainsaw, you can buy a carburetor with a carburetor and a spark plug and an air filter for like $15.
Oh, gee.
So I'm really intrigued. I'm like, it's a $15 gamble. It'll cost more than $15 of my time to put the thing in, but I thought I would order one and make a video about that.
Sure. Yeah, I can't blame you at all. That's what I do with my lawnmower. I'll you know, put a new carburetor on it every maybe 3 years or something. And it's so much easier than trying to figure out, you know, the float's stuck or whatever.
There is one easy fix on carburetors that I just learned about. If your engine is surging at idle, goes broom, 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 like that sound.
Mm-hmm.
There is either a brass plug or a plastic plug on the side of the carburetor. And I'll link to this from Donyboy. And it is an air metering device, basically. On Troy-Bilt carburetors, it is a black plastic plug that you remove. On Briggs & Stratton, it's a brass plug that might have a plastic cap over it. But you pull that out, you blow it out with an air compressor and some carburetor cleaner. You can take the wire from a wire brush and run it through it as well. You put that back in, and a lot of times that will fix this engine surge.
I had no idea.
Me neither, because I have a Troy-Bilt, my Troy-Bilt flex unit, which is a power unit that powers the mower, the pressure washer, the log splitter. It's starting to surge.
Mm-hmm.
that I was splitting the wood from the sugar maple that we dropped. And I was like, oh, there's this plug I can clean out. So, of course, I didn't clean it out because I'm going, no, I want to make a video about it. So, which prevents me from doing lots of things because I always put stuff off because I want to make a video about it. And then sometimes I'm like, you know, I just got to get this done and we're not going to make a video about it.
Understood. You know, it really, it triples or sometimes like quadruples the time to shoot a video that it would just to fix the thing.
Yeah. So the other thing I learned about cutting, I have a dual trunk, a twin trunk sugar maple. So we got the one that cracked and fell. And the other one is full of mushrooms. The trunk is full of mushrooms. So that's a sign that the trunk is, the wood's punky and it needs to come down. So my friend who was taller than I could get to the trunk above where it splits and cut the wedge. And I wasn't really thinking. I'm like, okay, he's going to drop it that way. And, you know, nice back cut, drops it fine. And it hangs up in a giant white pine.
Oh, dear.
At like a 45 degree angle. So it was man versus nature and three guys, two of whom are engineers, mechanical engineers. How do we get this thing out of here? And using a come along, you know, like a ratcheting come along with the braided cable, the stranded cable that you get from Harbor Freight, and a tow strap, trying to get this thing, basically trying to back it out of the maple, out of the white pine, because the bottom of the trunk where you cut it, it basically missiles itself into the dirt, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So you're trying to lift it out. And finally what we did was I had like a 10-foot 4x4, and we levered the rear end of the trunk out of the dirt, and then we could get the strap on it and yank it slowly back. But it took 3 hours. And
Wow.
Then I thought, why didn't we just drop the white pine, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, white pines up there are probably a dime a dozen.
They're trash trees to me.
I wouldn't say that.
Well, they're just trees that if they're too close to my house, and if they fall, it's bad. So, because their trunks are like 3 feet in diameter, you know?
Oh, yeah. 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 She who must be obeyed is worried about, or is kind of wondering if maybe we can get one of the big trees in the cemetery behind us to fall on the roof. And she was expecting the insurance to pay for a 12-foot roof instead of just the 9-foot we have.
Yeah, and the adjoining landowner might be liable for that.
Yeah, yeah, the cemetery. They wouldn't pay for anything. But anyway, that's another matter.
Yeah. So, hey, real quick here. I was wondering if you wanted to join the Garden Fork email list. It's Maura Eric. I don't know if you want that or not. But the best way to do that, if you go to the gardenfork.tv site, there are signups all over the place. There should be one on every page. Also, in the show notes for this show, if you're listening to it in the iTunes app or one of the other podcast app, to click on the little, I think you click on the little text thumbnail of the show and the notes will pop up and there's a link in there. Or just go to gardenfork.tv and there should be a sign up there. All right. Thank you. So a while back, I put out a couple of garlic planting videos, but the most recent one is my kind of like a challenge video. Can we get this done? And I had a second garlic bed to plant, but it had snowed 4 inches.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
And and now all of a sudden it's 55 degrees outside.
Oh, well, you know, I was watching it and you know, it was snowing and the mulch and everything was, you know, solid. Right, you know, you had to break it up and you went in to get something to break it up. And I thought he's going to come back with the flame torch, you
know, the flamethrower.
Yeah. And I was really disappointed when you didn't have the flamethrower. I was just, it was crushing. You know, I thought you'd be out there, you know, trying to unstick all that stuff with the flame. It would be wonderful to watch as you set it all on fire.
Set the wood chips on fire. This smoldering, burning fire for the whole winter in Eric's garden bed.
Yeah, I've done that more than once, actually.
That's like those landfills that have a lot of car tires and the car tires catch on fire and it takes them years to put out the fire.
Exactly. Yeah.
I could have that in my yard. But I got all the garlic in, and for a long time I was focused on showing the how-to in the YouTube videos.
Right.
And people seem to react more or leave more comments and say they like it when it's more of an experience rather than just, you know, step one, step two, step three.
Oh, well, and that's good to know.
And I thought, well, it's not going to be that interesting watching me clear the snow off and try and break through the frost line. And I was like, well, I'll just make the video anyway. And people liked it. So we'll be making more of that. I was thinking about making a video about how overwhelmed I am by my workshop, and because it's so, I just stack stuff in it. So then I become kind of frozen and my inability to clean it.
My garage looks like that. So yeah.
You could see my overwhelming anxiety about trying to clean my shop. And then I could do like a time lapse of me cleaning the shop. So I did one thing, which I think a lot of people that want to get organized do, is they buy all the containers that they're going to organize stuff in before thinking about how they're going to clean the shop, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually, according to these people that are about decluttering and organizing, you should first realize what you have, inventory what you have, and then figure out what kind of containers that they're going to need.
Ah.
So I bought those clear plastic boxes with the clear top, you know?
Oh, I've got those, yeah.
Yeah, nothing in them.
Yeah, well, mine are full, but I don't know what's in them. That's the problem. I'll put paint on the end of one, and I'll put hardware on the other. But I really don't know what's in each box. And so it's almost as problematic as just having it all stacked on a shelf somewhere or stacked in a corner.
Well, the containers I got are clear plastic, so you can see into them.
Well, that will end when they get kind of dusty and stuff, and kind of forget. Yeah. And you pull them out, and you're pulling one after another and going, you know, where the hell did I put the sandpaper? Is it a paint thing or is it a hardware thing, you know?
Or does your friend have it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, friends don't borrow sandpaper very much.
I have a beater little canister vac for the basement, you know, just to vacuum up sawdust or whatever. And then all of a sudden I couldn't find it. I had the rigid floor attachment and with the rigid pipe that's, you know, goes on that part so you can stand and vacuum. But the curly hose and the vacuum itself, I couldn't find. I had the vacuum bags. I had the floor attachment. I had some other attachment. I'm like, where? So like for a month, I'm like, I finally ordered one online. It's a Bissell bagless $50 vacuum that is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a Dyson knockoff. I mean, it's clearly not as good as a Dyson, but for $50 it works, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
And then I was in my friend's basement across the street and they're like, oh, here's the vacuum I borrowed a while ago. I had completely forgotten that they had borrowed it. Maybe they came over and borrowed it and I wasn't home, because they have the key to the door. You know, we share stuff between ourselves, you know.
And they stole it from you.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Anything interesting in your world? Are you getting anything ready for winter, or are you already thinking about spring? Or,
you know, I pulled up all the plants. My tomatoes really produced well into November, which is unusual here.
Do you think that's because of the covering you did?
I think so. I'm really a fan of what I've done, obviously, or I wouldn't have done it. But, you know, you just put in a ground cover that's permeable, water and air permeable, and plant through it.
Yep.
And it seems to make the tomatoes, you know, they don't get the blight that I used to have, which almost always hit in like late August or September. And, you know, they don't get that anymore, and they look really great, and they just keep growing and growing and producing. And this year, right up until the end of November, they look good. But I pulled them up yesterday, and it was about time, but it was pretty good. I'm happy with my tomatoes and my garden gym and the garden treasure tomatoes that I got from the Klee Labs in down Florida. In Florida.
Mm-hmm. I think we've had a big influence on the Klee Labs. I think we are their single best referrer, probably.
Probably.
A bunch of people have emailed me and said, hey, I got those seeds because Rick was talking about them.
Well, good. Get some more. You know, this is the first next year. Next growing season will be the first year that the Klee Labs will have a contract with one of the big growers. And I forget which one now.
I think it's Proven Winners because Aaron told us about it.
Exactly. That was it. And they'll be showing up in all the garden centers and whatnot. And that's wonderful.
That'll be great because I am all about transplants because I always forget to start my seeds. But part of my organization in the basement, I went to Costco and they had, you know, that kind of restaurant shelving. It's shiny metal wire shelving that's on these adjustable racks.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And it has the nice ones have big caster wheels on them. And Costco had them for $80, which is, I mean, they're $150 at the other stores. So
I
bought one and I thought, oh, I should get a couple more. And of course, I went back and they were out of them. Mm-hmm. But that is going to be my gardening supply rack. And I'm going to put my LED grow light smack in the middle so I can adjust the shelves to go, you know, above and below that.
Right.
Because I'm always having to find a surface for the grow light in late winter, early spring. And that's usually the laundry counter. And so all of a sudden, instead of having, so there's no place to fold the laundry then. So
right.
Yeah. I'm excited about that. So I'm going to start my lettuce seeds, things like that.
Yeah. My, I have a grow box, kind of a canvasy tent with a reflective material on the inside. And, I put it on a cart out in the garage and it works pretty well for me, but, yeah, you got to have some place kind of dedicated or it just takes up a lot of space and it's annoying to, some people who, will not be named.
Aaron's been putting out a couple of videos on YouTube. It's called The Impatient Gardener.
And I've seen those.
I really like them. I like those.
Yeah. Yeah, she does good.
She'll be on the show soon because she did a soil sample in her raised bed gardens, which is like bulletproof. That looks like the Defense Department built her raised beds, you know?
I saw those. They're wonderful. It took them a long time to get them put in, but they look great. Yeah, they look great.
And mine are, 12 inches off the ground. Hers are 3 feet high.
So you can sit on the edge and kind of reach in and garden from either side and not have to bend over and stoop and that kind of thing. It's important when you get older for that kind of thing.
I have to experience that. Hey, in the emails that I send out, I hope I haven't been kind of beating people over the head too much, but I have been sending out links to some Black Friday and holiday deals with Amazon because we are an Amazon affiliate and that does help pay the bills here. So I was wondering whether I was trying to not be hit you over the head with all that, but there are some good deals out there. And if you do use the Amazon Garden Fork link, that does help us pay the bills. It doesn't affect the price you pay, but it helps out. So
sure.
A couple of nice things. You can always get the Instant Pot that we made in the sweet potato video. I'm starting to become like this Instant Pot. Is it an acolyte or just nut job? I don't know.
Well, nut job, I think. I look at those and I think, well, you know, it's kind of nice, but I have my three pressure cookers and they just seem to work perfectly for me every time. I know how to run them. And I have yet to get on the Instapot bandwagon. But
what I like about it is you can walk away from it. And I'm famous for it used to be I would put some rice on the stove. Forget to set the timer. And we all know my short attention span. I would just walk away and I'm like, oh, I just burned the rice. So this is rice cooker. Yeah. It's an oatmeal cooker. It's a pressure cooker. But when it's done, you know, you can set it to pressure cook for 18 minutes or whatever. And then it goes into a keep warm mode. So you don't burn it. It just keeps it warm. And then you're like, oh, dinner's ready. I mean, it's not for everything. I think a cast iron fry pan can go a long way.
Right. You know, I've thought about getting a sous vide immersion heater.
Oh, okay.
And circulator. And, you know, just to cook things or get them up to a temperature and cook them and then finish them off in the frying pan or something. But I've yet to do that either. But I've thought about it. I'm kind of watching the sales to see if something comes up.
The one Chef Steps has one called a Jewel.
Mm-hmm.
And they have some videos, fantastic videos, using that machine that they developed. And they seem like they're based in Seattle or Portland. And people in Portland are going to yell at me. I'm sorry. But they're just, the vibe of their company is really good. And I've heard good things about that sous vide cooker. It looks like an immersion blender, but there's no thing sticking out the bottom.
Right.
And you can control it with a wireless device. So consider that.
I'm not sure about controlling it with the wireless device, but, you know, just the idea of sous vide, it's how all the major restaurants and stuff keep food cooked and ready to throw on the grill and that kind of thing. It just makes really good sense. And I just, you know, you look at them and you go, wow, that's kind of expensive for just that single purpose item.
Yeah.
But I'm really kind of getting into the idea. I like it a lot. You know, you remember when we used to make, you and I both did sous vide.
From the beer cooler?
Yeah, from the beer cooler. And then we did one that was electric and we, you know, had a rheostat on it that we'd turned down.
Yeah, I was playing with the slow cooker, yeah.
Yeah. And it's really taken off now. And I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, I actually have, I still have my little dimmer switch rheostat thing to control the slow cooker. But it just seems like so much more fun to have this little gizmo. You can just go boop, 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 and then walk away from it.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, we were on the cutting edge of that, and then that somebody took it over and really did a good job with it.
So just another tangent, because that's what Garden Fork is all about. But I become a little obsessed with cloud cover near my Brooklyn house.
And oh really?
The clouds are breaking now, and you know how I can tell that? I look at the app on my phone that shows me the kilowatt hours I'm generating on my solar array on the roof.
Oh, yeah. I am so envious of that.
It's really cool. The final inspection from the city is supposed to be today. So if the doorbell rings, this podcast will be cut short.
Oh, ding dong.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Interesting way the city does build, you know, if you're doing a project, you have to have it inspected by the city. They do a lottery system. So you have to file the permit and then you let them know when you're ready to have it inspected and you're done. You know, like we had the electrical panel upgraded.
Right.
And so the contractor has to be present and they'll say, okay, we'll be there at 9:30 and be ready. You don't know if they're going to show up or not because the buildings department does a lottery and they pick, out of 10 projects, they pick 3 or 4 to go visit. But all 10 projects, the contractor's there waiting for the building department. So it keeps everyone on point, knowing mm-hmm. that they have to follow the rules and they could have a surprise inspection. And that way the city doesn't have to inspect 10 projects, it just inspects 3 or 4. I mean, on a bigger building, they're there all the time. Or an elevator.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But like an electrical panel upgrade or a solar array installation, if it's being done by a reputable company, they're like, okay, well, we know those guys. We don't need to go look at that. But so it's interesting. It keeps everyone on point.
Yeah, no kidding. Have you had your meter turned backward yet?
Yeah, the net meter went in last week. Con Edison came and he put it in and we turned on the inverter, which is this giant box under the panels now. And the arrow pointed back toward Con Edison. So...
Oh, wow. That's wonderful.
I mean, I'm the only one home during the day. There's no one else in the building. So, you know, it's me and a laptop. So, and we're cranking out. I mean, on a sunny day, I still have to wrap my head around the term kilowatt hours.
Right.
But right now we're, what's my yield? It's putting out about 0.4 kilowatts right now. So
yeah, a little low.
Yeah.
Yes. It's cloudy, right?
But other day, yeah, it's 'cause it's cloudy, but you know, if that's a sunny day, the thing is just like, it's up at, the inverter will handle up to 7.5 kilowatts. And I think okay. the system puts out 7.2 when it's at full sun.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm so envious. Yeah, I've wanted to do that, and we don't have the solar,
the rebates and stuff.
Yeah. Well, no, just the, my house is shaded
right.
by somebody else's trees, the cemetery behind us. And so we don't have the solar access that, that you have, and yours are up high, aren't they? You built a, are you going to build a deck underneath or something?
Yeah. Essentially the solar panels are a roof for the deck. So, because the sun gets pretty darn hot up there. So,
yeah. Yeah. Did you tilt your panels at all? Or are they just kind of square?
No, they're flat. Tilted toward,
the south,
a sun exposure. Yeah. They've got it all figured out. The people that did it, clearly know what they're doing. And my neighbors have the same array. So I was making sure mine were tilted the same way in case I hadn't made a mistake, you know. You never know. I've done that, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This side up. Oops.
Oops, yeah. Yeah. And that's an expensive mistake to make.
Yeah. So what is on your agenda this week, sir?
Well, you know, not a whole lot. You know, kind of getting ready for the holidays, decorating around the house, and probably take one of the dogs and have their teeth cleaned. It's
exciting.
Exciting stuff.
How's the new car?
The new car is wonderful. It's like flying a shuttle or something, a space shuttle. Just the array, and it's so cool. We're so afraid that we're gonna ding it somehow that we almost reluctantly drive it. And so we're driving the primitive Prius instead of the prime Prius.
So with the new car, do you like park it way out in the parking lot of the grocery store?
Oh yeah, I've gotten more exercise than you'd imagine. You know, you put it out in the corner somewhere, and you try to get between two cars that don't look like they're going to go anywhere for a while. And
so the first 45 miles is on the battery, right?
It's about the first 30 miles, really, okay. But it's on the battery, and it you know, that by and large serves our everyday needs pretty well. It's very rare we actually hit the engine, turn on the internal combustion engine when we drive it on that particular car. And so, you know, it's amazing how short our radius is. We thought we'd be driving it more, but it's, you know, we'll stay on the battery almost all the time.
How cool. Well, yeah. I want more updates because I, you know, now I have like Tesla envy, you know?
Oh, you know, I've thought about that. I'm the Chevy Bolt, B-O-L-T, instead of V-O-L-T. I think they're canceling the V-O-L-T, aren't they? But the B-O-L-T, their electric car, is really intriguing. And they get, I think, maybe 200 miles to a charge. And so it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, The challenge for me is that in Brooklyn, I can't put a plug out my front door, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But they have charging stations, of course, at the Whole Foods, of course, is a set of charging stations. But up at the house, I could easily put that in. But it's 150 miles from house to house.
Oh, well, you'd need to charge in between for sure.
Yeah, that would be interesting. We'll have to see. All right.
It's just a wonderful car to drive. And, you know, the fact that it's cutting edge is the most important part to me. I just love the fact that we're kind of out there we're not on the bleeding edge, but we're kind of on the leading edge of things. And I think that's so cool.
It's excellent. Thank you, sir.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. I think people have gotten to work or they're done with their workout.
And your inspector is coming soon?
Yeah. Ooh, in a couple minutes here. So, well, who knows? They may or may not. I'll let you know in the future. But if you all would go watch the sweet potato video, help Garden Fork get some views, and then watch another Garden Fork video while you're there, you know?
Yeah. There are all kinds of great things. I am continually blown away by how much you have done already. And, you know, that's in the archive, so to speak. And I'll go and look and I'm like, oh, I forgot he did that. I forgot how to do that. I forgot he did this. You know, it's really amazing to go back through it.
If you go to YouTube and then you watch a Garden Fork video, just below it is going to be a little Garden Fork. It says Garden Fork with a little Labrador icon, I think it is. If you click on that, you go to our channel page and you can see some popular videos. And then there's a link. There's a couple of lists across the top. One just says videos. And that has all 500 something videos in it. You have to scroll all the way through them, but there's 500 of them there to watch. So,
well, you're amazingly productive when you really think about how long you've been doing this and how many videos you have. Props to you, sir.
Despite being someone that's easily overwhelmed by simple things.
Well, me too. You know, I was sitting here at the computer the other day and I was trying to get MailChimp working and set all that up. And I'm just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it today. You know, I'm overwhelmed already.
I'll be your assistant. I'll set it up.
Okay.
I know MailChimp.
Wonderful.
So,
well, it's simple. And, but I just didn't feel like doing it or something.
Okay, Rick. Okay. Whatever.
Rick. Yeah.
Look, a squirrel.
Squirrel.
All right, everybody. Always want to hear from you. We got some nice emails recently. Radio@gardenfork.tv. It's radio@gardenfork.tv. I got an email from a fellow who went to the same college I did. So I'm going to respond to him. And he will get my email shortly. So nice.
Huh? Yeah. Well, you know, your solo show last time was really good with all the emails you'd kind of accumulated, have backlog, and you read them all and talked about them. It's, you know, we try to do that every, whenever they come in. But sometimes I wasn't going to say that.
Right. Well, I got one from Matthew who lives in Southern Illinois. So I got to email him back. So.
Okay. Well, the dogs need to walk and I need to get going this morning.
MailChimp. Work on that MailChimp, man.
I'll do it.
See you later, everybody.
Okay. Talk to you later, my friend.
Garden Fork Radio's executive producer is Jimmy Gutz of hollowbooks.com. And our music is licensed from uniquetracks.com.